And welcome to an episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd. Joining me today is Wario Will.
Ah, man. What a good, nice week break. And yeah, by the time tomorrow, we're going to have Monster Hunter Rise and the Banjo-Kazooie Amiibo. So yeah, good days coming up ahead. Woo!
As long as you're happy, Will, that's all that matters. No, it isn't. Moving on. So, also here is Tellius Tyler.
I'm going to get both of those things. Monster Hunter Rise, I said, I think when we did our draft, I put that as game. It's outside your comfort zone. I'm going for it.
Oh, you mean the secondary draft?
Yes, the secondary.
Yeah, the secondary draft. The supplemental draft.
Right, exactly.
The supplemental draft. But yeah, I do recall that. Mine was Monster Hunter Stories, so I'm gonna wait on that. But yeah, so we do apologize for missing last week. Tyler had a thing, and there honestly just wasn't a lot to talk about. And there was this global event going on called the Snyder Cut. So one of us had to go watch a 4-hour movie. Which I did, and I enjoyed it. So, but we are back, and there's plenty to talk about. So we'll get all started off with, what have you been playing? And I'll go first, because before one was supposed to be our show last week, I posted my review of Bravely Default 2, and I gave it a 4 out of 5. I thought it was a good game overall. I still haven't beaten it, which makes me glad I actually played it as much as I did before reviewing it, because then things just got, busy, especially with Snyder Cut. And it's still a really good game, but I will stand by some of the critiques I have, like the counter system. We talked about that on the last podcast 2 weeks ago. I still feel that there is a grinding element that, you have to get good in order to progress through the game at times, especially at the end, which Tyler will back me up on. There is a boss that is just, ugh, so OP. But
she was obnoxious.
So I still liked the game. I liked the story. Tyler did not. But he liked the gameplay more than I did. So, it all balances out. But I still recommend it. But it's definitely a game you're going to be sinking time into. Although I will make a note, Tyler, when we talked last, you noted that you were shocked that a lot of reviewers had only put 60 hours into the game.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not even at 30, and I'm at the end boss. Yeah.
No way. That's what? Crazy.
Now, don't get me wrong. I didn't do everything. I did do a majority of side quests, as the ones that weren't super fetch questy in any way, or had an item that I absolutely want. I totally did those, the large JP orbs or experience orbs or whatever.
Wait, what level are you?
50.
Okay, that's about what I was when I fought that boss.
Really?
I'm confused. I'm just gonna say I'm confused.
Oh, maybe one of us is better than the other. Ah, yeah.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's been easy mode over here.
It's called casual. It's called casual. Get it right. But I like the game. I think one of the weirder elements is, when we talked about this before, but there are times when the cutscenes look absolutely beautiful, and then you get those kind of in-game cutscenes where you actually see the pixelation, and I'm just like, why couldn't you fix that? Can you really tell me that you can't see all the pixels there? I don't know. I mean, it reminds me of Pokemon Black and White 2, where the static pixels of everything was just not good looking. So, I mean, and again, the game looks good at other times, and then it just pulls out those cutscenes, and I'm like, why? So, also, the storyline with that pig man, Truft, or whatever.
Yeah.
That kind of went long.
Yeah.
He gets buried under a pile of rubble, and they're like, oh no, we can't save him. And then he somehow beneath a pile of rocks goes, no, just use the technique I taught you. It'll crush rock. I'm like, okay, we have a magician, a guy with an axe, another magician, a person who can capture beast monsters. Wait, capturing monsters? That I sense a game idea right there. Gotta catch them all. Anyway, but you're telling me that only the sword swing can save this pig man. Yeah. I mean, there's four storytelling, and then there's Truft. So, anyway. But I still enjoyed the game, and I will probably be playing it a little bit later tonight. But again, 4 out of 5, I still recommend it. It's a good thing to get to keep you going, especially if you're not a Monster Hunter fan, which we'll be talking about a little bit later. But and then of course Pokemon Snap is next month, so you're gonna need something to tide you over until then. So I would recommend it. So now the other interesting thing was after I posted my review, Tyler, who at one point in playing Bravely said, "I can't find a single fault with this game," later went on to say, "Yeah, you gave it a higher score than I would have."
You did. Yeah, I mean, you know, in my first like 30 hours with the game, I stand by it because I did say in that pod the story was slow to develop, but I expected it to go somewhere, and I don't feel like it did enough. So that was like, you know, but the gameplay eventually, I think my biggest issue was come like the 60 hour mark, the dungeons start to wear on you. They're like, they're not visually unique enough. No. To be like, oh, wow, like, I can't wait to see what dungeon is next. It's like, oh, okay, this is another. And some of them look good, don't get me wrong, but they're not like, whoa, that was a really cool place I just explored. It's just a more generic. And the same thing goes for the enemy design. That's a quieter complaint. Like, there's like six enemy types.
Yeah.
And that's it. You're like, you fight the ant. Like, it's like, oh, a red ant, a gold ant, a blue ant. Like,
I did mention that in my review where they did like the whole like gloss of paint, new name kind of thing.
Yep.
Or like the six different kinds of wizards that just happen to have different robes.
Yep.
So. But yeah, it's again. There's your standard RPG tropes in there, and the one of the main bad guys was it Adam or whatever.
Adam. He was brutal, terrible villain.
Yeah, he was terrible as in not developed, or terrible as in mean.
Not developed.
Okay, yeah, I agree with that. And then all of a sudden at the end, he like spoilers. He saves your life, and it's just like.
He's
like, I did not see. Okay, he had a terrible voice actor. He was worse than Elvis. But it's like, yeah, it's like, I did not save you to help you. I did it so that you could hurt her, and that will be my revenge. And then he dies laughing while he like gets crushed under an airship. The airship was cool. All right, definitely didn't see that coming. And then it gets destroyed like a couple scenes later. It's just like, come on, we just got an airship.
You can revisit the airship in a side quest, which is cool.
Really?
Yeah, there's like an optional boss in there.
Yeah, and then there's like a couple secret endings, right? Like
Yeah.
You said you were really confused by them, actually, and it don't spoil them because I haven't gotten to them, but like you said like the secret ending was worse than the original one or whatever? Yeah,
there's three endings, and like the way that you progress the game is just pretty straightforward, I would say. But like the first ending is like, I guess, quote-unquote, the bad ending. And then the second ending is, like, supposed to be, like, marginally better, but it's kind of not. And then the final ending is, I guess, the true ending is a more traditional ending, so.
And do you only get the bad ending after you finish the game the first time?
Once you beat the boss that you're fighting now, you will get the bad ending.
Like, guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
That's nothing. Dumb.
Yeah. Sort of. It's not as bad in practice. It does sound really dumb, but it'll make sense at some point. Just play it, and it'll make sense.
All right. But then other than that, I've been playing Fire Emblem Heroes. I'm back up to 4,000 orbs. They changed the Tempest Trials. Did you guys notice that?
I deleted the app. I'm done with it.
For now. He'll be back.
For now.
He'll be back.
I'm done forever.
No, you're not.
Right.
Anyway.
Wait until, I don't know, they have the entire Tellius Banner saga.
You do know me too well.
You've done this before. Like, seriously, you were like, I've quit the game, full stop, and then you waited like, I don't know, like 6 months or so. Then he came back, and then you're like, "Guys, I just needed like a break. I needed fresh eyes, and this is so much fun."
I remember that. Not again. I'm done. I'm out forever. When they did Radiant Reinhardt for the Fey Pass, like that was it for me. I was like, "We're really gonna buff Reinhardt again? Seriously?"
Yeah. So, all right. We'll make a note. It is on March 25th, episode 222. Tyler resigns Fire Emblem. Let's keep track of how long this goes. I bet you it'll last until choose your legends, and then he'll be like, "I gotta get the gatekeeper." You know, it'd be wrong for me not to get the gatekeeper.
Yep.
You know,
that's a pretty good bet, honestly. That's a pretty good bet.
That's why I'm the host.
So what were you talking about? What they changed in the Tempest Trials, Todd?
No, well they changed the scoring system because I was able like. After a while, you kind of know like how many points you're gonna get, and they changed it. Like the first time you play, you have the ability for whatever reason to get like 7,000 points.
Right, I don't get it either.
And then they upped it so like usually at the level I play at, which is second to highest, I would get 1,500 points for the max win, and then 500 points for once the bonus is gone. But with this one, I get like 1,700 and then 700. So it's just like, okay, that's a lot more. I'll take that.
Right, it definitely makes things a lot more faster, so you don't have to like grind in the Tempest Trials. Like I even as a yes, I'm still a Fate Pass subscriber, but yeah, even when after the times three multiplier for your first two trial runs, it's quite a lot to say at least. So yeah, even with my the auto plays for Fate subscribers, yeah.
So I'm still just waiting for that that next good banner, because what was the last one?
Last one, I believe, was we had the three houses, and I think the new bunny spring.
The bunny one. Although, ironically, I did get a Minerva on my free summon. It was a 4-star, though, so.
Okay.
I didn't mind.
And, yeah, right now they just released the whole a Hero Rises banner with two blues and two grays. I would be better if they had one more color to balance it out, but no, they had just those two colors, which, yeah, I'm not going to stick my orbs, even for Legendary Dimitri or Saros.
Yeah, I would have gone for Saros, but I'm not going to, because I literally got all the other characters, including Dimitri, so why would I waste my orbs and my time when I can just, like, not do that?
Yep.
Such is life. All right, yeah. Will, how about you?
Yeah, just a compliment as well. Like, yeah, if I recall on the map, the Fae event calendar correctly, yeah, I think we definitely are due for another Mythic banner come up pretty soon at the end of the month, like near at the March 30th mark. So yeah, we are due for a new banner soon. And yeah, just been grinding up the orbs. I'm right now sitting at roughly 520 orbs right now. So wow. Overall, I'm just like, yeah, I mean, thankfully I didn't have to go too hard from that last legendary Cyril's banner. So thank you for that. So yeah, just been grinding up the orbs, and of course, naturally, for me, I have been going back into Fall Guys season 4, because yes, season 4 is currently up and available right now. And oh boy, it's just as hectic as ever, especially with the whole neon futuristic 480s style. That, yeah, retro futuristic style. It's just the levels, it's crazy, it's neon, it's bright, it's like, yeah, like if you want to go back to the days of Daft Punk and Back to the Future, yeah, this thing is just pretty much, if you want to go back to the 80s, it's just nuts. The games are crazy, it's still as hectic as always, but yeah. I mean, the only thing I'm just have anything to grip is like, can we have some new final games, Mediatonic? I mean, sure, you have all these different other mini games to like get to that final round, but can you not, I don't know, add a theme-based final game? I don't know. That would be nice. So, yeah, continuing on Fall Guys and Fall Guys Season 4. I'd actually just managed to go and get some crowns here and there. And because I actually uploaded on Twitter, like, yeah, there was this one person that was grabbing me on the jump off, and like, nope, you got jump off. Like, ha, karma, boy, karma. But I digress.
And again, like, well, like, the game is taking until the summer to come to the Switch and Xbox. Like, what's up with that? It can't be that hard to program for these other consoles.
Even for like PC and PS4, I mean, granted, I do get some stuttering on my PS4 version. So again, naturally, you gotta be careful with, again, Nintendo's online isn't their strongest suit. So I couldn't imagine how it is be otherwise. And of course, with Xbox, I mean, Xbox, it should be much more better. So with the whole Microsoft thing, so I don't know why. So yeah, always a thing to think about. Yeah, but aside from that, I'm also managing to make some progress into Persona 5 Scramble. Just continuing on with the palaces. So just overall, it has been kind of an interesting week. And of course, naturally tomorrow, as we said earlier, Monster Hunter Rise is going to be coming out. I plan to get it once at Nintendo NY this coming Saturday. And of course, the Banjo-Kazooie Amiibo is also releasing as well at the same day tomorrow. So yeah, overall, it's a lot of things to, it's definitely a very eventful week this time around. So yeah, overall, I'm excited.
I find it interesting that you talk about, you know, Strikers when a certain Honest trailer came out, and was very honest about what the game is and everything.
So. I mean, sure, that honest trailer for it is definitely, yeah. It is, obviously, Atlas has been kicking on with the Milk King shirt. There's no doubt about that. But heck, if you want to, I mean, yeah, these characters is just, I want to spend more time with these guys. So, and yeah, this it's just simple fun. It's just simple fun, to say the least. I mean, sure, it's not the deepest of things, but heck, it's simple fun.
Tyler, how about you?
So I've been playing a lot of Smash Ultimate, actually, getting back to my roots. I have been loving Pyra and Mythra. They are probably, definitely my favorite DLC characters. They're just so much fun to play. I love the speed of Mythra. Mythra, I think,
yes.
Just as, like, for my playstyle, Mythra is perfect because she's got the sword, she can zone people out, but she's also got some combos. Just her overall speed is mind-blowing, and it makes her just super fun to play. I'd rather play a fast character than a slow character. I'm not the Ganondorf type. But switching to Pyra is like this seamless sort of... the transition is so satisfying to go from this quick... combo-focused character to one that can just kill you at like 60% with a well-timed forward smash. It's one of Sakurai's best creations. Just there's something so satisfying about switching between the two, and it feels like this is how Monolith Soft would have envisioned the characters being played in Smash. They're a perfect tandem, and yet they retain their unique identities. Just a small little thing that I love is when you switch from Pyra to Mythra, Mythra goes, "Let me at him!" And it's like, and it's just a cool little voice line that adds a little quirk to them. So they've been a ton of fun. I've spent a lot of time trying to learn them, and it's gotten me into the YouTube well of Smash Bros. Training videos and how to move as Mythra, how to move as Pyra, combo videos and all that stuff. So I've been getting back to my roots with that. I don't think I've lost a match with them either, so that's part of the fun for me, is just playing against my siblings and driving them insane with these characters. I think they're overpowered. I'm pretty sure they're busted, but you know, I'll leave that to the pros to determine. And then outside of that, I've been playing some Dragon Quest XI. So I started that like in the beginning of the pandemic, and now the pandemic is ending. I'm getting back into it. So.
Don't jinx it. We're not out of it yet.
You know how Americans can be.
It's done. It's over. The vaccinations. It's done. I'm not even concerned. I don't even think I could jinx it at this point.
Oh gosh. It was nice knowing you, Tyler.
I apologize in advance. That
you should.
It's not over yet. Continue to be safe, people.
Please.
But that game, unlike Bravely, which they're both Square games, Dragon Quest, the monster design is so good. I love how unique they all are and the personality that they all have. I think I said that like last year when I was playing the game, but just going back and playing it again is very just a refreshing reminder of the creativity that there's been like 1,000 RPGs at this point, obviously, but like good animations can go so far to add personality to even the smallest of characters. Like there's this tree stump in Dragon Quest, and it's just like literally a tree stump with a face. But the way its eyes work and the way its like twigs act as arms, and there's just these little motions that give it such character, and it adds to like the whimsy of the world. I'm really impressed by that game. But it does have the same thing that you were talking about with Bravely, Todd, actually, where the cutscenes, the actual like intro cinematic to the game is gorgeous. Like, it's gorgeous. It's unbelievable to me that it runs on Switch because it's beautiful. And then the actual in-game stuff is, like, very pixelated. So, you accept that it's on the Switch and it's not going to be as gorgeous as it would be on other platforms. It still looks pretty good. It could be better, however. I think that's odd that some of the in-game cutscenes don't look nearly as good as the cinematic. And I'm sure that there's a very good reason for it that I just don't understand because I'm not a programmer. But that's been fun as well. And like I said, I'm going to get Monster Hunter Rise. Next week I'll talk about it. I've never played that before, but I'm excited to get my feet into something new.
Yeah. So, like we said, we missed a week, but between that week and this week, there's been a lot of interesting topics to discuss. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. And first up, we have a really unique story because Niantic, who is the group behind Pokemon Go, the massively successful mobile app slash game, has apparently signed a new contract with Nintendo, who has a stake in them, if you didn't know, alongside the Pokemon Company. And they are hiring them to make more of their mobile titles. And apparently the first one that's coming out is going to be Pikmin. And it's going to be coming out this year. According to reports, the app will function similar to Pokemon Go, with Pikmin following players in the real world using their AR technology, and the future Nintendo Niantic games will also use that same technology. Quote, Niantic's AR technology has made it possible for us to experience the world as if Pikmin are secretly living all around us, said Shigeru Miyamoto in a press release. Based on the theme of making walking fun, our mission is to provide people a new experience that's different from traditional games. We hope that the Pikmin and this app will become a partner in your life, end quote. So, yeah, we're going to get a Pikmin game.
I mean, definitely the possibilities are there, and like how like the last venture with Pokemon Go, with the AR technology that is currently available now, and just wondering how can Pikmin be incorporated into gaming? I mean, outside from the main games, obviously. So, I mean, yeah, seeing, because I think we only had like one demonstration that's with Nintendo Land, which we'll talk about later. But there is some Pikmin cameos, but how we're gonna do it, like, I don't know if Pokemon Go is anything to clue us off on. Yeah, see Pikmin fall behind you or in the nature, in the world, like, are we gonna see Bulborbs or actually see giant Bulborbs or the Queen Bulborb like out there, and you have to actually throw Pikmin? I don't know. I mean, the ideas are definitely there. The ideas are there, so it's curious to think about.
Yeah, this one's a see it to believe it for me.
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you, because remember, we were all thinking, you know, is Pokemon Go really going to work? Like, a lot of us and a lot of critics were like, is this really going to work? Who's going to go walk to catch Pokemon? And then it became what it is. I'm really uncertain of how this is going to work, because, like, again, in the press release, they specifically state the Pikmin are going to be following you. Okay, but the camera is on your phone. The phone is looking forward. So how am I seeing the Pikmin behind me? Yes, I know that's an overly complicated question to ask. I don't care. But am I going to be doing this like selfie style? Or are we going to be able to take selfies with the Pikmin? These are the questions we need answered. All right. So I don't know, but clearly Nintendo is impressed with what Niantic has done with Pokemon Go. I guess making billions of dollars will do that to you. So hopefully they can make this work in a grand and stupendous way. I wish them all the best of luck. And then the question is, of course, after that, what are they going to make? Because, again, it's an AR game or thing. So I don't know.
The concept is odd, right? Because it's about making walking fun.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're looking at your phone the whole time you're walking, I don't know. To me, the point of making walking fun is like, oh, look at the world around me. Like, it's beautiful. Not look at, I'm staring at my phone as I walk. Like,
well,
I don't know. I gotta see it.
You make fun of that, but that's basically Pokemon Go. You're like walking you're walking a few feet, then you're looking at your phone. Okay, is there a Pokemon near me? Is there a Pokemon stop? You know, so like, clearly they made it work with Pokemon Go.
You're totally right. Now, there's a big difference. Pokemon Go is Pokemon.
Uh-huh.
You know, in our world, like, it's a more marketable and like easy to understand idea.
Yeah.
And then of course, like, okay, I can see them saying like the whole, oh, Pikmin are everywhere, and you get to pull them, and I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. Like, I could see, especially if they could like tailor it to plant life or whatever. So like the Pikmin are like sticking out of the bushes, I could see that. But then like, okay, am I gonna have like a train of a million Pikmin? I mean, do I need a train of a million Pikmin? So I don't know. There's not a lot of information yet, but this is at least something. And again, it's coming out this year, so. We shall see. We shall see. All right, next up. Oh, yeah, this is a story that Tyler definitely wants to talk about. Kid Icarus. So this story actually comes from Masahiro Sakurai himself. And he has this really interesting habit of posting on days of anniversaries. And sure enough, he posted on the anniversary of Kid Icarus Uprising for the 3DS. And ever since this game came out on the 3DS, and it was a hit, it sold over a million copies, people have been asking if there might be a remake for the Switch, or even better, a sequel to the Switch. And so on the anniversary, Sakurai made a tweet, and basically it says that, you know, he gets asked a lot about Kid Icarus Uprising, and he said that it would be difficult to make a sequel or a remake for it. Tyler, your thoughts?
No, just the difficult, just to say difficult, like, this was a Twitter post. Yeah. He didn't need to do this to us.
No.
You know, he didn't need to come from the top rope with an elbow.
Oof.
And just smash our dreams into the ground. I'm confused, though, by what he, like, I wish he was more specific. You can't just be, like, difficult and then, like, disappear without explaining what you mean. Is it difficult because Nintendo has no interest in a new Kid Icarus game? Is it difficult because you're not sure how Kid Icarus could translate to the Switch? Is it difficult because you think that the personality from Kid Icarus Uprising is not going to work 10 years later? It's not going to have the same charm. I don't know. I felt as though this was rude from Sakurai. And I didn't like it. I didn't appreciate it. I don't know. Imagine it's the first one. I imagine Nintendo is just not super interested in it, and that's why he's saying it. It sounds like there's some politicking going on there.
Yeah, that's...
But...
I mean, there definitely is that factor in, is like, because again, the whole gap, like a whole decade of waiting, and it seems like, oh, we gotta wait another decade, maybe two decades, and hopefully maybe in Masayu Sakurai's lifetime before he's taken away from us. And just there's just many things about the series that there seems to be up in the air. Of course, like, naturally, there's the humor, the characters, the story. Like how do you come go after from that? I mean, Uprising, for what it is quite an amazing product, even after that whole gap from the original game. So
yeah.
If you make it from, like, I don't know, supposedly it's going to make another Kid Icarus Uprising in the Switch 2, should they ever make it, and if Sakurai is still living, it's just like, how would it would compare? Like, because the basic formula is, like, again, first one is a platformer, second one is a rail shooter with also a bit of action-based gameplay. So how would you change the formula from there? I mean, Sakurai has always been creative, but how would you go from there? Yeah.
Yeah, this also struck me as odd for various reasons. First of all, just the word difficult. Because as Tyler accurately pointed out when we were talking about this originally, you know, making games is difficult. That's just the nature of it. And Sakurai, who of course is a perfectionist, as we've seen in Smash Brothers, you know, he wouldn't want to make a game that he doesn't feel is perfect. And I can respect that. And perhaps he felt that Icarus Uprising in its own way was perfect, and thus he doesn't feel he can capitalize on it. I don't think that's the case. And so then the question is, you know, then what's difficult about it? Does he think he can't think of another original story? Because Uprising was its own original story, a modern take on Icarus and the characters, you know, the whole new looks and all that, you know, and it was great. I mean, I loved it outside of my hand cramping a lot, but it was still a fun thing. And you even got to see, like, some of the elements that he would eventually put into Smash Brothers or use with Smash Brothers, like the difficulty scale. But I don't know why he would say difficult, because the Switch has better graphics than the 3DS, obviously. It has more capacity than the 3DS, obviously. It has multiple control schemes, so he could easily work it to where it's not as hand cramping as before, including it has, of course, two Joy-Con sticks, two analog sticks, so that's not an issue, which the 3DS did not have. Outside the extension, obviously, Tyler. And we know that there are bigger and grander games that have been put onto the Switch, Breath of the Wild, Astral Chain, Odyssey, I guess we could put.
Odyssey's
grand. I mean, that's a large world, you know, worlds. So, what's difficult, Daddy Sakurai? I don't know. So the other thing I was thinking of is maybe he has to stay difficult. Maybe he has to stay difficult because he is working on something. Or when he gets done with Smash Brothers, that's going to be his next priority. Because he's even said that the next Smash Brothers game, should it actually happen, he's not confirmed it's going to happen, but should it happen, won't be as big as Ultimate, because that's meant to be like the literal peak that this franchise can go. And we all respect that because this game almost killed him multiple times. So going like down to Kid Icarus might be a lesser challenge for him, but it's still difficult to make. It's a video game. So maybe he has to say difficult to not give the impression that it's being made or is going to be made. So I don't know, but this whole thing just feels weird. Because like you said, Tyler, he didn't have to say anything. He could have just said, hey, it's the anniversary of Kid Icarus. Loved making the game. I'm glad you all. Thank you to all who enjoyed it. And then ended it there. But he said that he's heard the requests and said it's difficult. But why is it difficult? These are the questions that keep us up at night.
They are. This is going to haunt me for a long time. The multiplayer for that game was like so much fun. It could have been a game in and of itself on Switch with like a better online infrastructure. Although I will say it worked pretty well on 3DS. That was kind of strange, but it worked pretty well.
No, I remember doing the multiplayer. It was fun enough. You know, you like different weapons and everything, and
getting to, like, become Pit, and like you start out as the Angels, and then I forget exactly how it worked, but you'd become Pit, and you'd be superpowered, being like, you know, the god amongst the mere, you know, demigods. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah. So we'll have to wait and see, but I think there might be something more going on there. We shall see. All right, next up we have Monster Hunter Rise, which is coming out tomorrow at the time of this recording. And the reviews have come out for it, and a lot of people are praising it. You know, 8 out of 10s, 9 out of 10s, 4.5 out of 5s, highly recommended.
Yep, Famitsu loved it, obviously. Yeah.
Never say obviously. That's never a guarantee. All right.
Okay. Fair enough.
So, like, I was surprised that a lot of people the first review I saw was, it's a good game, but it sometimes stumbles over its feet. I'm like, oh, okay, it's gonna be that kind of Monster Hunter title. But then I saw the other reviews, like IGN and GameStop and all of them, GameSpot, and it was like, oh, okay, yeah, this is actually looking really good. So I'm glad that this exclusive for now.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's going to be coming out on PC. Let's get it out of the way. It will be coming on PC later on, but yeah, right now, let Nintendo Switch shine right now.
It's a console exclusive. There you go. It's a console exclusive. But I'm not going to be playing this myself, so Will and Tyler and I believe Cam...
He has a copy, and I think our boss Cooper Keefe also has a copy provided from him. So, but yeah, like basically everyone has been playing it right now. I mean, Japan is have a fever about it because obviously it's their game. Like heck, one company shut down, gave a day off for its employees to play Monster Hunter Rise. It's just like, okay, that's so Japan of you. But yeah, it's Monster Hunter, so sure, why not?
With I know this is not Nintendo, but with the Snyder Cut, Zack Snyder gave out a doctor's note from one of the doctor characters in the movie. It's like, this is written permission to let the people watch 4 hours of the Snyder Cut. So, like, turnabout.
So, yeah, the reviews of Monster Rise is like, yeah, like, obviously, let's just get the one that comes ready. This is not World 2.0, because, like, again, that... Obviously, Monster Hunter World does some great things, obviously, with its horsepower, and of course, it's a natural storyline. So, and with Monster Hunter Rise, it's basically going back to how it was. It's like how it was always been back in the days of yore. Like, it's a portable Monster Hunter. Like, nothing, it's not about the story. It's never really about the story. It's always about the monster hunts. So, all these, like, again, the monsters, the armor sets, and of course, just like the overall aesthetic of it. I mean, again, it's in ninja villages, and just the whole aesthetic of it all is just that. That's the reason why you want to play Monster Hunter Rise. So, yeah, for me, I just want to try this out. Hopefully, get the amiibos when it comes out. So, yeah, overall, I'm just really glad to see how many people are really liking this game, even with its like tried and true traditional formula. So, yeah, I'm happy for them.
Yeah. We'll just have to see where it goes. And again, Will and Tyler will be playing it this weekend. So I look forward to seeing what you have to say about it. Okay. So let's see. Next up. Oh, yeah. This is kind of a sad story. Not going to lie. You might recall Reggie Fils-Aimé, our dear Reginator, went and joined GameStop last year, as one of their board of directors, I do believe.
Yep.
And he was there to try and basically help save the company, and
not even him can save the sinking ship, which is GameStop.
So, yeah, he has announced that he is leaving the board of directors literally like a year after he got the job.
Seriously, how bad of a situation? Even with the whole story of the whole stock situation, from Wall Street, and then not with Reggie. Like, how bad of a sinking ship of a company is GameStop is? Like, not even Reggie can help. Like, again, he was the guy who helped sell Nintendo, and he said, "Nope, not even I can do this. Nope. Goodbye."
It's just like it just came out of nowhere. Like, why?
This was an odd hire to begin with, though. In Reggie's, like, I guess it's kind of defending Reggie and kind of not. Like, what was Reggie supposed to do to turn GameStop around? You know, what was Reggie going to come in and do? That was going to be like, whoa, the president of Nintendo America had this brilliant idea to turn GameStop around. I just don't know that anybody could have done it. You know, I don't blame Reggie here.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, I remember when the hire came because, you know, it was a big deal. It was.
He was the only good guy in that company. Literally, he was the only good guy. Again, ex-CEO of Nintendo America going into GameStop to help in the board of directors. Like, okay, the literal good guy who says, like, if the game's not fun, why bother? Like, the literal guy who said that quote, and of course, like, I don't know, perhaps inject a soul into that company. But apparently, I don't know, maybe because of the whole, of obviously with the pandemic situation, but this whole past year or something else. Entirely, I don't know what factors may be involved, but yeah, apparently this whole entire year, it just like, nope. With other members of directors, like, nope, we can't. Like, they're leaving the board of directors on the GameStop. It's just, yep, it's too much of a stinking shit. So, yeah, it's just like, it is definitely a question to ask, like, what were the factors? Like, not even a good guy like Reggie can't even save GameStop. It's like, how bad was the damage?
There's better ways for Reggie to spend his time, too. Like, he's Reggie. He's like Mr. Creative, Mr. Fun. I just don't think that was the right environment.
We all know that the only people that can save GameStop is Reddit.
You're exactly right. Absolutely right.
Yep.
That's actually the best point of them all, Todd, because Reggie turned around GameStop as far as I'm concerned. I'm not sure if you've seen the stock price, but like before Reggie got there, it was in the gutter. And then Reggie left and it was, he did it. Reggie honestly did it. Mission accomplished.
Yeah, you could say he knew how to take stock of the situation.
Wait a minute. Maybe because if he got into the board of directors, maybe he was given stock as a sign-in bonus, and now he sold it. Now he doesn't need it anymore. I wonder.
That's probably right.
I mean, maybe he had, I gotta word this properly. You know, like an escape clause. You know, like he might have inserted it in there, and they just might not have read it.
Brutal. Absolutely brutal. It's just tough. We went a whole week without two weeks really, 14 days without hearing any Todd puns.
You missed it.
It was tough.
Yeah, you missed it. Alright. Next up. So as we alluded to earlier, next month is the next major first party release for the Nintendo Switch. February was Bravely Default with the Square Enix, that was third party, and of course Monster Hunter Rise is Capcom, that's third party. But new Pokemon Snap is coming out on the 30th of April, and apparently this preview got sent around the internet. I didn't get it. I'm hurt. All right, but I shall move on. But yes, a 30-minute virtual hands-off preview of new Pokemon Snap has gone around to certain sites, and apparently it looks very fresh, very fun, and people really can't wait to get their hands on it and start taking pictures. I'm reading one of the previews now, and they're noting basically the things you would expect. Like, it's really cool to see Pokemon in the wild. There's a lot of kind of a natural flair to it, like an executor hiding among the palm trees and blossoms and foliage. That's a weird word. All right, foliage.
It is
a weird word.
Totally agree.
Yeah, and then there's like a Lapras and water, you know, and everything. And they talk about how there's like a night cycle and a day cycle, so that could, you know, change how you take pictures. And it just captures the feeling of Pokemon, the original Pokemon Snap. So it does seem like a lot of people are liking it. I'm looking at now the photo editing software bit, and they said that there's really cool tools in there, and how you can use like certain items to attract Pokemon to, you know, get better shots and all that. So it does seem that you know, there's going to be a lot to enjoy in new Pokemon Snap. So I'm excited. I really want this game right now. I want it. I want to relax and just take pictures of Pokemon all day. Is that so hard to ask?
It's really not. It's something that I feel like it could be out now. It could be. You know, it's probably done. Maybe Nintendo surprises us. Tomorrow they're just like, we'll release it. Let's just put it up on the eShop.
Yeah, let's screw with Capcom. Here's a first-party game. Let's show you how it's done.
Oh my gosh, Capcom would be very angry.
It's like, just for that, we're not giving you our character for Smash Brothers. Yeah, too bad, we already got Mega Man.
If it means we don't get Monster Hunter as like the final character, that'd be great. Oh, honestly, gosh. That'd be a win. That'd be a big win.
Yeah, like, what character? I mean, what character would you put? There's no like real main character in Monster Hunter. I mean, that's why they put Rothalos as the boss in like boss rush and in the Monster Hunter level. That's the character. Like, Rothalos is in every game. You know, there's no like individual human character that means anything to the Monster Hunter world. That's why they cast Milo Djokovic.
I feel like this is Triforce Todd once again casting shade upon Minecraft Steve. That's what I feel busy.
Actually, no. I was not thinking of Minecraft at all. I swear. I was.
I know you weren't, but like the principle is there.
It's no,
like...
but even with Minecraft Steve, you know who he is.
Do you though?
But no, it's like okay, who's the main character in Minecraft? It's Minecraft Steve. Like he's the art that they use on the cover. He's like the main character that, you know, people talk about. You know, when you refer to Minecraft characters, you talk about Minecraft Steve, or you talk about, what was it, like Linderman or whatever.
Yeah.
And all that. He's at least there. Name one main character from a Monster Hunter game.
I cannot.
Exactly. But even I've never touched Minecraft in my life, but I know about Minecraft Steve. You know, like people talk about him. It's like, oh yeah, it's Minecraft Steve and yada yada yada. Like that's fine. Like that was at least a character that had like a name and identity that tied to its game. With Monster Hunter, you're just playing like the random silent protagonist.
Yeah, you know, just the hunter.
You're creating your own character, like in this and like in Rise. Like Stories has one because that's much more like traditional RPG. Yeah, narrative RPG versus, you know, just going and attacking monsters, and that's fine. But I don't get these rumors about, you know, Monster Hunter character. Like, what character? Like, what one? Like, and you can say, well, wait a minute, Todd. What about Dragon Quest Hero? Like, you know, that technically wasn't an actual character. Like, you know, you give them their own name. Like, yeah, but that's a franchise-defining hero. Like, every hero is different, and they literally just smushed them all together.
And they have a distinct look to each game.
Yeah!
So, yes.
So, like, that's different. That's time where the name doesn't matter because you know, like, oh, that's the hero. That's my Dragon Quest hero, whether it's 8, 11, 1, 3, or whatever. Like, all the classics, they have that look. So, that's different. But, like, no, all you have, you got Rothalos, you got a Monster Hunter level, leave it alone. Leave it alone. And on that note, I want to talk about Smash Brothers rumors, because I have been seeing... so many articles, and that you, that website, you know who you are, all right? You post, like, every article you can about a Smash rumor being confirmed, deconfirmed, teased, possible, whatever. Stop it! All right, it's annoying, okay? Like, I saw one that said that, like, Master Chief was going to be in the game. Master Chief's not going to be a Smash Brothers, all right? The closest we got was Banjo and Minecraft Steve, and even then, both, again, those characters have been on Nintendo platforms. That's the rule. All third-party characters have to be on a Nintendo platform at one point in time. Cloud, Sephiroth, they've been on there in the past, but via the Kingdom Hearts game, so that counts. Right? Why? Never has Halo, outside of mods, like, touched down on a Nintendo platform, so stop it. Alright, and then another one was about a Ryu Hayabusa from Ninja Gaiden. Could that character work? Yeah, he was born on Nintendo, but are we actually going to get him? Probably not. But it's just like, it's never ending. I honestly can't wait for this DLC pack to be done. Because this is it. Like, these are the last two characters. Like,
I just hope
period.
They announce a third just so the cycle continues. No, it's true though. Like, the first DLC I feel, maybe it's, I guess I should say I followed it more closely so I understand. I experienced it more. I feel like 2 hasn't been quite as bad with the ludicrous... Whoa, this character has confirmed things, but it's still pretty constant. Ryu Hayabusa has been, like, for 2 years, just constant.
Yeah.
He's gonna be in it. And now the creator is like, we haven't gotten an invitation yet, so...
Yet!
It was the keyword.
Look, don't get me wrong. Like, we here at NEP have, like, mined this topic, like we talked about, you know, third-party characters and first-party characters, characters we want, characters we don't want. We get it! Okay? We get it! You want your character in there. We're still hoping for Sora. I'm still hoping for, you know, like, Chrono from Chrono Trigger. Who else? I wanted Sora and Riku. I wanted Sora and Riku kind of as a unique tandem, but after what happened with Pyra and Mithra, with him saying that, you know, Ice Climbers was difficult enough, like, I understand why he can't do that. So, and now that we got Sephiroth, there's no way we're getting with Sora, so I understand. Knuckles. I'd be fine with Knuckles. I think that'd be a really good, you know, power character. Have a lot of fun with that. So Tails would be fine too, I suppose. Not Shadow. Shadow needs to stay away. he has a chaos we can't control.
anyway. That was forced.
Yeah.
Like all these rumors, obviously, just wait until, I don't know, this coming E3. We'll definitely probably hopefully get a teaser somewhere time down the line. But yeah, like, obviously with all these different characters, I mean, it's still up in the air. Heck, like, again, we just had such great big hitters. Again, Pyra, Mithra, Sephiroth, Steve, Min-Min, and of course, naturally with Balo, Terry, and Banjo-Kazooie, all these great characters now. Like, where do you go from there? I mean, heck, a lot of people just wanted Dante of Devil May Cry, which, that would be nice. I wouldn't mind.
Dante's been on Nintendo before. I will allow that.
And, like, there's just like, other different franchises you never know could, I don't know, suddenly pop out of nowhere, maybe in the depths of Nintendo's library. I have no idea. But,
Ratchet and Clank, Dr. Eggman.
I mean, heck, even of course, there's the typical most common one, Master Chief, because again, yeah, you've got to have the representation of all three companies. So,
which is dumb. Again, we got representation because technically Rare owns Banjo, and so Banjo is technically a Microsoft character now.
Sony is the one we're missing. I mean, I guess Cloud and Sephiroth are, like, synonymous with Sony.
Yeah,
yes,
they were born on the PlayStation, so...
They were. But they're not, like, first-party Sony characters.
Yeah.
Obviously. Ratchet Clank, however.
But again, they haven't been on Nintendo platforms.
They have, like, not.
They had not even have teasing. Again, Cloud and Sephiroth have the excuse of saying they were in Kingdom Hearts on multiple handheld games, like Chain of Memories and Recoded.
Yeah. So, yeah, and Final Fantasy VII is on Switch.
This is true.
So. Yeah, technically.
Yeah, and it was on Wii U. So, yeah, so they got excuses, but, and look, again, we're all excited. I mean, especially after Sephiroth and the awesome trailer that was Pyramithra. You know, we all want, like, the best possible characters, because again, this is the ultimate Smash Brothers. We're never ever gonna have something like this again. It'll kill Sakurai, and nobody wants that. All right, so I don't know who's next. I would bet we're going to get, you know, I was going to say 1-1 with a first and a third, but after Pyramithra and we've already got Min-Min, I'm not sure, because, yeah, I don't know.
I think it's 1-1. I agree with that.
Yeah, so what do you think, like, third party next time to end it with a strong first party?
I think they go first party, shocking third party.
Ooh, shocking third party.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, and clearly they have a plan, because you'd think that Sephiroth would be last. I mean, again, like, end boss, you know, yes. Final boss. So clearly they think they have someone better than Sephiroth, which is one of my draft picks. So
that would have done it, too, like Sephiroth being the final
character. I would not mind it being last. Would not mind being last.
Would have worked.
I mean,
sure.
Again, final boss. Like, it's Sephiroth.
Yeah.
Like, it's like
the mode they did for it.
Yeah. That would have been in that trailer. Nice. Like, everyone's dying, and, you know, again. And, you know, like, Sephiroth just kills the boss, and is like, yeah, I'm here. Despair. You know? Like, that would have been awesome. But, you know, clearly they have a plan for who's last, so...
You think it's bad now with the random just gossip cycle, too. Imagine that final character.
Oh, gosh. Because this is their last chance.
Yep.
this is our last hope. We have to believe. Do you, though? Do you? What do you think? This is the Snyder Cut where you can just like tweet it into existence? I really did like the Snyder Cut, for the record.
It's been very clear that we cannot tweet it into existence.
Well, again, as we said from our last podcast, he has figurines of certain characters in his office. So
yeah.
We just need to have a certain ninja in there. Just go in there and not see what figures we have.
A ninja? Ryu confirmed? Yeah. Oh yeah, and of course Gino was always a fan desire, but now he's a costume, and costumes are confirmed not in the game. Like Travis, Gino, some Tekken characters. And also Monster Hunter had a bunch of
they had a Mii costume.
Costume. So like stop it. Stop it with the Monster Hunter stuff. So it's gonna be hard. We get it. All right, we've been suffering along with you, all right, and trying to predict, you know, who's coming next. We've never been right. But okay, outside of Banjo, we all predicted Banjo was going to be in here. We had faith. Tyler had the most faith, but we had faith. So like, let's just wait, breathe, and not react to every leak, quote unquote, rumor, quote unquote, you know. Because half of them are wrong. No one predicted Sephiroth. No one predicted Pyra and Mithra, because we all thought the Rex costume was a denial of that. So stop it. Just let Sakurai do his thing, and then when he's ready, we will get it. So like Will said, we got the reveal was in February, because that was the direct, but the release was in March. So yeah, probably by June with E3, we'll get something. So let's just, I know it's hard. Be patient. Shut up. And let us live our lives. Okay. I'm tired of these Smash Brothers articles. Ugh! And now Tyler's got it in my head that the last one's going to be even worse because of all the believing on who's going to be the last character. So thanks a lot, Tyler.
Sorry, hand up. That was my bad.
Yeah. All right, moving on for sanity's sake. We have Super Nintendo Land. Or World. Was it World? Was it World or Land?
Nintendo World.
Yeah, World. Yeah. Sorry. World, which has officially and definitively opened up in Japan. Shigeru Miyamoto was there to help welcome everybody to the theme park. And early reviews are painting it positively. Will, take it away.
Yeah, so overall, the general impressions of the theme park is overly positive. Like, with all like the attractions and rides themselves are, like, well, maybe short for some, but overall, just the environment stuff. Again, the fact that it's all Mario, actually bringing the size and consideration of how would it be to be in the Mushroom Kingdom. Like, a lot of people basically are complimenting on that. Plus, with the AR technology, and the augmented reality games with the bracelets. Yeah, like the, I forgot what it's called again. Like those specialized bracelets for the park to play all these different mini games, and as well, like, collect stamps, which... Yeah, apparently that's kind of like Nintendo's motif. So yeah, overall, like the major areas, and of course the food is just I'm sorry, like how the heck they can mix I'm just blanking out. Like the Mushroom Kingdom food looks so good, like the Star Rice, the mushroom burgers, like, and of course naturally the popcorn things, like, yeah, that thing's always... It's just like something, if you've always been a Nintendo fan, you owe it to yourself to actually go to Super Nintendo World at least once. Because from the overall general consensus is that you want to go, these things, obviously, you want to go visit multiple times. Because it's like, there are definitely different stamps. Like, for example, go there 5 times, 10 times. You want to go there because, like, obviously, an entire day is not going to be enough. It's not going to be enough to explore the entire thing the entirety of the park. So if you are the fortunate enough ones to live close enough or in the area, then yeah, overall it's just a fun time if you're an Nintendo guy. And of course, naturally the gift shops, which of course theme park prices is gonna be expensive as heck, but it's always gonna be worth it. Like I still remember, like there was some like on eBay right now, like they're selling all these toys from the Super Nintendo World, which is like going for insane prices. Darn you, scalpers! And it's just a place you have to experience at least once, and especially if you're a Nintendo fan. So if you're enjoying Nintendo throughout your entire life, you're definitely gonna enjoy Super Mario Super Nintendo World, to say the least. So here's hoping that production starts ramping up again here in the US instead of having to go travel to Japan. So here's hoping that we finally get some progress here in the stateside.
Well, I saw a report, and I think it was like just before World opened, that the Orlando one was like delayed to like 2026. I know, right? Now, obviously that can change with the pandemic eventually lightening up. So, you know, one can hope, but yeah, I hope it doesn't take that long.
Yeah, because like we always hear about these exhibitions, like Donkey Kong or even Legend of Zelda. Like, yeah, I want to go to a Legend of Zelda theme park. I wouldn't mind that. So it's just like this kind of thing is one of those things that you're just about Japan. Like they're able to go handle themselves on these different theme parks locally. Like, ah man, I want to go there. All these different toys, these games, and of course, just like see Daddy Sakurai and Miyamoto, and with the Mario mascots. It's just. It's like, yeah, why not be a kid again for the once, especially in these dark times.
Yeah. So what we're gonna do is Tyler is waiting on his stimulus check. So we're gonna use our stimulus checks to go to Japan, and we're gonna go to Super Nintendo World, and then we're gonna go to visit Nintendo's headquarters. And we're totally not gonna hold out signs outside the window stating what Smash Brothers characters should be like. Yeah, and then when Sakurai looks at us, we'll flip it over and go and have a Make Kid Icarus sequel. So, and then it'll be like, never ask me for anything again. Like, no, we will ask you for everything. That's why you're Daddy Sakurai. So, but no, I'm happy that, you know, it's getting good positive. I'm just glad it's open. Because again, it was supposed to open last year alongside the Tokyo Olympics, because it was supposed to be like, you know, nice little hand-in-hand event. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, everything got delayed because of the summer of the pandemic. And now that things are starting to lighten up, at least a little, it's not over, like someone said, and everything. I'm glad people are getting to enjoy this so that Nintendo can, you know, bask in its own glory for a little bit and then start expanding. Because, yeah, they should do Donkey Kong Land, a Zelda Land, Pikmin, I think would be fun. Pokemon would be tricky because of, obviously, you know, Pokemon Company, but I'm sure they can work out a deal. But Star Fox, oh man, they should have, like, just an arcade dedicated to Star Fox. Like, they've got those, like, video game, like, chair cabinet things where you can be like fully engulfed like a simulator, like that. They should just have an arcade with a set of those where you can play against each other in like dog fights, Star Fox style. Like I'm full of ideas, Nintendo. I'm right here in Illinois. You can hire me anytime. So go and check it out. There's a lot of reviews up, and if you're in Japan, konnichiwa first of all, and I hope you go and check it out because I know it'd mean a lot to Nintendo. All right, next up, this is more of a fan thing for me, but Ruby, one of the best animes, not animes, out there, season 8 finale coming soon, no spoilers, it's getting its Grim Eclipse game coming to the Switch. And if I remember the story correctly, this was a fan game turned actual game, turned expanded game, now Switch game. Did I get that?
It was kind of an interesting project, to say the least, because I still remember like when Rooster Teeth first talked about it back in the day, and when it was released on the PS4. I think it was a PS3 or PS4. One of those prayer projects.
Probably PS3.
Yeah, like I still remember when they talked about it, like it was a fair. I mean, it was definitely a solid project. I mean, it's nothing to write home about, but it was at least a good service game. Think about it as a Musou style kind of game. One obviously against 1,000 Grimms. And of course, there's the co-op of 4 more players, so there's a whole lot. So it was a decent project, to say the least. Like yeah. I didn't really hear too many great things about it. I mean, it's a standard game for what it is. So if you enjoy Ruby, you may enjoy it, but there's nothing to write home about.
Yeah,
from what I've heard.
So, Then we found out that Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle, which has the Ruby Ladies in it, is on sale for $5.
Yeah, that's kind of sad, unfortunately. And it was a great game. I mean, you played it when it first came out, and like that's kind of the bad thing about that's dependent on fighting games. It depends on their community, and if not many people are playing it, even on like PS4 or on the Nintendo Switch, don't expect a sequel anytime soon. So, yeah. I mean, obviously, we're good to get Strive and all that. Sure.
Yeah, I loved it. Don't get me wrong, I didn't know. I played that game before I played Blaze Blue Central Fiction. Don't even get me started on that one. But I just can't. But so I didn't know a lot about Blaze Blue outside of what I watched with like Death Battle, because I did want to rock the Blood Edge, and of course I knew Ruby because I had watched the whole series, and then there was Undernight Earth or something like that.
Rebirth, yeah.
A very anime name if there ever was one. And then, of course, Persona 4 Golden, which I had never played.
Persona 4 Ultimax, yeah. Basically Persona 4, yeah.
Don't start with me, Will.
Sorry, as the Persona fan in me, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, but like I enjoyed it for what it was, and my team that I was like really good at, I had found this really great combination between Weishini and Noelle Vermillion. And so I was actually, you know, kind of decent, and I enjoyed playing for a while. But then, of course, you know, I fell into other games, and I hadn't thought about it. But then for a game that was honestly a really, you know, once-in-a-lifetime kind of crossover between, you know, Persona and Blaze Blue and Undernight and Birth and Ruby, which was a huge shock when it was announced, for that to go to $5, it's a little insulting. But, you know, like you said, if no one's playing it, you might as well just let people play it and, you know, see if anyone tries it out.
Yeah, and again, it's a solid game. People still be playing it. It's still in the underground scene. Even with like the expanded new characters of like Neapolitan, even Seren Kagura, no one expected that.
Yeah,
and just like it is now, unfortunately, it is in the underground scene, but people are still playing it, and people are still be chanting its praises. So, like obviously, we'll get to Gear Strive, which is Arc System's main focus right now, but. Matt knows more about it, but basically separate for two teams. But overall, it's kind of sad to see it's been so cheap, but it is a solid title, so you won't go wrong if you get it for $5.
Yeah, I really did enjoy it, so, and Will enjoyed it. So if you haven't played it, $5, you know, it's something for you to play while you're waiting for the next title.
And that's not necessarily, I mean, I'm sure that it's a game that doesn't have a ton of momentum right now, but Mario & Rabbids Kingdom Battle was on sale for like 85% off.
Really?
Yes, there was a huge Ubisoft sale, and Kingdom Battle was it was like, I forget, it was like $7 or maybe it's $13, but it was really cheap.
That obviously
sold really well. So
it's still the best selling third party game on Switch. So, and that there's another one. Where's my sequel? Like, again, we talked about this a few weeks ago, but like, where's my Kingdom Battle sequel? I mean, that should have been here by now. I mean, that was 2017?
Yeah.
18?
That was year one?
Okay, so yeah, 17. Year one. So like, come on, Ubisoft. I want my Kingdom Battle too! So. Alright, and finally, for the news, we have the NPD results for February. And not surprisingly, the Switch was number one! Oh joy! Like, no, seriously, it's something. But the big thing that I wanted to point out was that the best-selling game in the U.S. was, wait for it, Super Mario 3D World and Bowser's Fury.
Ooh.
Yeah, and you say, well, wait a minute, like what was its rivals? Well, technically Bravely Default, but that came out on the 26th, so its numbers were not known, obviously. Persona 5 Strikers, which was anticipated enough. Little Nightmares 2. So that, you know, a little more niche, but still. And then a Call of Duty is just, that thing always sells.
Yeah, that thing will never die.
Yeah, especially in America. America!
Oof.
Yeah. But still, you know, like, for it to be number one, it's a port game. So it always impresses me when the ports, even with just that little additional information, or additions, if you will, sell well. And Mario just seems to kill it. I mean, between Deluxe, 3D All-Stars, Deluxe U, and now this, it's just so good for it.
Yeah, Mario is gonna sell no matter what, it seems like. Because even if people are gonna buy, like, if either be first time buyers or gonna double dip or even triple dip, I don't know what the case is, but it seems like Mario games will always sell. And like, because again, Bowser's Fury is obviously that main addition why people are getting this 3D World on Switch, because again, I want to play Bowser's Fury. It's just like, it's just the perfect day to occupy you. I mean, sure, 3D World, 3D World was a great product itself. Again, we wrote in our review, Tyler and I wrote the review. It's like, again, it's a great product itself, but again, people want to buy Bowser's Fury, and it's just the perfect thing to buy it. So, yeah.
Yeah. And then some other extra details. The Switch has now had lifetime dollar sales better than the DS. It's now surpassed it in hardware sales and dollar sales. And the console unit sales for the Switch in February were the highest for any hardware platform in a February month since Wii in 2009. So, yeah, it's had the best February in like 12 years, like of all systems.
Ooh, that is crazy.
Yeah, that is kind of crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not like there was Mario's obviously big, but it wasn't like it was Odyssey 2, you know?
No. So, just goes to show that the power of Nintendo. And again, this means that the Xbox Series X and the PS5 have not had a number one console selling month since they've arrived. Just saying.
That is sad. That is very sad.
Yeah, it is. It honestly is. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. And ironically, our main event has to talk a little bit about Mario. Because if you don't remember, when Mario 3D All-Stars came out, which was the compilation of 64 Sunshine and Galaxy, just a little bit improved graphically, a little bit, they noted that the game would only be released until March 31st, which is next Wednesday, time's recording. So that's coming, and apparently Nintendo fans being Nintendo fans, they decided, hey, let's quote unquote celebrate it by doing a whole bunch of tweeting about how Mario is gonna die on the 31st. And this like got trending and actually trended under Nintendo Direct. So way to go, jerks, for making us believe that Nintendo Direct got announced. But this raises the question of, is there franchises in Nintendo's lineup that should not be as big a focus right now? Meaning that they keep putting the games out for them, they're not focusing on other franchises because they know this will be the moneymaker or whatever. Like, how many ports of Mario games have we had from the Wii U and beyond? So we're going to debate this in a session of the NEP Secret Society. All right, I'm going to get this. I'll start this one off because I want to set the tone. Because it'd be so easy to do Mario. And if you guys want to do Mario, you go right ahead. Because we all know Mario is the cash cow. But there's one franchise I feel that they kind of...
Don't take mine. Go ahead. Sorry, I was just speaking out loud. Just don't take mine.
Don't take Smash Brothers, Tyler?
Oh, thank God. Whew.
Anyway. Should we just say it right now just so we don't overlap each other, I'm guessing? I don't know.
No, I was just kidding.
Fine. Anyway, but I feel there's one franchise that Nintendo at times knows what to do with, doesn't want to know what to do with, and then when they don't know what to do with, they just like throw stuff at the wall, and that's Kirby.
Good pick.
Thank you.
Good pick. Right.
Because let's think of like the all-time great Kirby games. I'm talking like, you know, Superstar Ultra, Crystal Shards, I'll even go like Rainbow Curse, you know, I'll even say Star Allies, why not? You know, they have these games that, you know, are perfectly Kirby. You know, simple, adorable, you know, inhaling all your enemies into oblivion. Oh, wait, they're not dead. They're actually stuck in a pocket dimension within Kirby's stomach. Never mind. You know, they have these things. And then sometimes they'll do, like, their offshoot games, like, what was it, like, Portrait Chaos or something like that.
Canvas Curse.
Yeah, Canvas Curse, thank you. Like, that one. And there was Rainbow Curse.
Very close with Portrait Chaos.
Sorry, I don't think I played that one. But
You were close.
But, like, people fail to realize that Kirby is actually one of the most, distributed Nintendo franchises out there. They have so many games. People just don't realize it. Here we go. The Kirby franchise as a whole has over 30 games in it. And you wouldn't think that because you're like, well, wait a minute, it's Kirby. And I know there hasn't been 30 main Kirby titles, and there hasn't, but there's been all of these like spin-off titles. All right, they've got like beat 'em up games like Kirby Fighters. They've got you know, stuff like Kirby Star Allies. There's Kirby Battle Royale. Then there's Rainbow Curse. There's Triple Deluxe. There's Planet Robobot, which is actually kind of fine. You know, sometimes you just like throw it at the wall and tries to see what sticks. And I feel like, and we're getting close to the next anniversary for Kirby, and they said that, hey, something's coming, but is it going to be a good thing? I'd rather them make, like, one Kirby title in our generation, or one or two good in our generation, versus saying, hey, that side game we did for Kirby, you know, that was fun. Let's put that out there, like a Super Kirby Clash. Like, does anybody remember that? And then there was Kirby Fighters Deluxe, and then Kirby Fighters 2, and then there was that like part-time alien thing that was totally like just like Kirby in disguise, you know. And then they have ones that are really good, like, you know, Crystal Shards, Return of Dreamland, Superstar, Triple Star Deluxe, Star Allies, you know, Robobot even. You know, they have fun with this, and then other times they just like throw it up against the wall. Blowout Blast, there you go. Why not just compress? Focus on one really good Kirby game, and then take that extra time to, you know, make something else. You know, HAL Laboratory can go make other things, you know? I mean, they were the ones who made Kid Icarus too, you know, Project Sora. So, you know, I love Kirby. Kirby's amazing, despite being 8 inches tall. But at times, it just seems like, hey, let's just throw out a Kirby game to see if it sticks. Like, don't do that. Kirby's that good a character. I would love to work on a Kirby game. I have an idea for what I think would be a fun Kirby title. But when are we going to get the next good one that isn't just like, hey, let's throw 4 Kirby characters together and have them, you know, go save the world, like with Star Allies? You know, that's fine for an extent, but, you know, let's have like a really meaningful Kirby game again on the Switch, because that would sell well. Star Allies sold well, but let's go bigger. Let's do better for Kirby. All right, Kirby deserves our respect, so focus less, make one Kirby game, and then focus on everything else.
Yeah, I love that pick. I think that could be Kirby is like you said, it's an experimental franchise. They
very much
just
so.
Throw things at the wall and see what works. I mean, one game, they take away Kirby's arms and turn it into a ball. Like,
yeah.
Trace a path for, and in another game,
yeah.
There's like 50 Kirbys that you have to like,
mass attack.
Stage mass attack.
Yeah, mass attack.
So
yeah.
It's I love that they experiment with Kirby. My favorite Kirby game is Kirby's Epic Yarn, which is
yeah.
That was not that should not have been as adorable as it was, but it was.
I love
it was
that game.
So adorable,
and I still want Prince Fluff and Smash. I still do. One day, he's
one day.
But I completely agree. I think that they've kind of overdone it. Star Allies is a great example of how they've kind of overdone it. That game was fine. It just wasn't super original. There wasn't I don't remember anything about it, I'm going to say. I don't even remember who the final boss was, and I beat it for sure. The one thing you remember from it is Buff DDD.
Super Buff DDD.
Yeah,
don't do drugs, kids.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, steroids don't make great athletes. They destroy them. I do think that Kirby is a series that needs a little bit of time to rest. And, like, I don't need a lot of time to rest, but just let's cut down on the annual Kirby releases. Maybe it's an every other year thing. Maybe we, like you said, take some time to create a truly brilliant Kirby game that is along the lines of Return to Dreamland, along the lines of Crystal Shards, which I think are the best two games in the series. Robobot was great too, though. I'm going to put that out there.
Yeah, again, Kirby is good. Kirby is one of their longest running franchises. It has a staying power because, as Tyler said, it's experimental. But the problem with experimenting is that, you know, not unlike Pokemon, you sometimes get like those good spin-off games like a Pokemon Ranger or a Pokemon Snap. And a Pokemon Go. But then you get things like Pokemon Channel and Pokemon Conquest, which I'm still trying to figure out what that game was. Never finished it. Or, you know, Troze and everything. Yeah, there's fine to, you know, experiment, but at other times we just want our bloody core Pokemon titles, okay? So, and then, you know, the Arceus thing. Like, I'm interested in Arceus, but, you know, I know that I can play that knowing that Sword and Shield's already out, but I can't say that with Kirby. So focus on one good Kirby game for the anniversary, and then take that extra time that you would spend making like 3 or 4 experimental Kirby games and focus on something else. No. Tyler, how about you? What is your pick that you didn't want me to take?
My pick that I didn't want you to take was Splatoon.
Really?
I know a lot of our listeners love Splatoon. I love Splatoon. Splatoon is one of those franchises that Nintendo, and it's been super successful for a great reason. It's awesome. I love Splatoon. It's a blast. I just don't think that it needs to be in the spotlight quite as much as it is. I mean, Splatoon 3 to me feels too early. Felt too early for Splatoon 3. I'm excited. I think it's going to be really fun. But I don't think that it's going to validate the fact that I don't think it's going to validate needing an entirely new game rather than just being yet another expansion or some sort of extension of Splatoon 2, which is a phenomenal game that I still very much enjoy. I just think it's one of those games that, because it sold so well and it's so huge in Japan, there's a ton of marketing around it. There's the live concerts. It sprang into the top 5 of like Nintendo franchises, and it jumped like 4 other franchises that I love more, Donkey Kong and Fire Emblem among them. So I just think, I think it could use a little less focus. It's mainly because Splatoon 3 is announced felt too soon. That's really where I'm getting this from. You guys can defend Splatoon at this point.
No, actually, I'm gonna agree with you on it, because look, when Splatoon came out, it was on the Wii U. No one saw it coming. No one knew if it was actually going to be good. Then we get our hands on it, and it's like the funnest thing ever. It was fresh. It had a fresh coat of ink. But get it? Ink, paint, never
that
mind.
That was good.
Okay. I didn't know if that hit, that landed, or if it went splat. And that's why I'm the host. But no, Splatoon 1 was great, but it was on the Wii U. So even though it had like over 4 million sales within like a short period of time, that's good in context, but considering how poorly the Wii U sold, it was kind of a misnomer. So I understood why they kind of rushed to make Splatoon 2, and everyone kind of wondered, is this just a port, kind of like starting a trend? But no, it's Splatoon 2. It's got, new characters, it's got the Salmon Run, it's got the new modes, it's new weapons, and we all loved it. And then they just stopped. And we're like, why? And then they did the Octopath expansion, which was really cool. Like, that was a nice addition to it, a different feel. And then when Splatoon 3 got announced, I was like, oh, I really thought it was another Octopath expansion. Let's just keep adding to Splatoon 2. Maybe, like, kickstart another set of a year of a Splatfest, because we all love the Splatfest. Right. But, no, Splatoon 3, and don't get me wrong, yeah, it's going to be 5 years, because Splatoon was 2017. It's going to be 5 years since the last one, but it doesn't feel like 5 years, especially since we got the Splatfest. The Splatfest are just this brilliant idea, and yet for whatever reason, Nintendo just seems to stop them for whatever reason, because they're working on the next thing, whether it be Octopath expansion or the Splatoon 3 now that we know. I would be fine if they just did 4 years of Splatfest every single month, and then after 5 years, hey, here's Splatoon 3. It's in the works, and it might come out another 2 years. That'd be fine. But yeah, we're going to have 2 Splatoon games within one console generation. That does feel like a bit much.
Yeah, it feels dated. Go ahead, Will. Sorry.
Yeah, because it's kind of in the same... I'm just going to say that this is basically becoming Nintendo's Call of Duty. While it's not an annual game, it definitely feels like, how many more Splatoon games is going to be? Like, are we going to get up to the point that it's going to be Splatoon 5 on the Switch console? Like, that would be just simply ridiculous. So I can definitely agree why you would feel that way, Tyler, because, we don't want to saturate the game with this one license on this one console. Splatoon 1, great. Splatoon 2, going to the Switch console, great. Now going to Splatoon 3, maybe it's starting to have that, again, that franchise fatigue that we always knew that's very similar with like Call of Duty. So I can definitely see where you're coming from with that, Ty.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in, the sequel needs to be... there needs to be a reason for it. It needs to be justified. And with Splatoon 3, I would be very surprised if it didn't play almost exactly like Splatoon 2. it just feels like another reason to stick a $60 price tag on it instead of a $30 price tag on it. If they just did what if they put the ideas of Splatoon 3 in an expansion for Splatoon 2, and even if they charged full price, I don't know. I think it would still I'd be pretty fine with that. I just don't think there's going to be that leap. And that's really why I think Nintendo's kind of overplaying their hands with this franchise.
Yeah, the real problem here, and this is why it kind of threw me off when we saw the reveal trailer in the Nintendo Direct, was that the way they framed it with, you know, they were creating the character, which was very much like the Octo expansion, and then we had the Salmonid sidekick, you know, that was interesting. I'm like, oh, this is totally an expansion. And then they showed like the desert area, which was kind of like the underground for Octopath expansion. It was called the Octopath expansion, right?
It was the Octo expansion.
Sorry, Octopath Traveler, Octo expansion, Project Triangle, Three Houses, or whatever. It all sounds the same. Anyway, the Octo expansion, you know, was the underground, and like, okay, this is gonna be the next expansion. It's gonna be in the desert area. That's cool. And you know, while I like that we have a new, you know, base of operations in a desert area, and clearly there's gonna be like some changes. Yeah, like you say, Tyler, it's still gonna play the same. More or less, you know, new levels, new designs, new weapons. That's cool. That's fine. But you could do that with an expansion, not a new game, and then focus on something else.
Right.
So are they trying to milk this cow? Yeah, a little bit. But I mean, granted, again, it will be 5 years since the last one. And that is a significant amount of time.
It is.
But they could have gone longer. It could have gone a little longer.
If this was like 2008, I would have been totally cool with it, where the internet's not quite what it is and what it is today, and you know, people across the globe now they're getting all this cool new content and they need to release it as a new game. But because you can just release it as an update, I think that is the more optimal way to go, the more consumer friendly way to go.
All right, Will, what about you?
For me, like, this maybe seemed blasphemous on a part of Nintendo franchises, but I don't know. Like, personally for me, I feel like maybe they are focusing a bit too much on the Pokemon franchise, if you ask me.
Ooh, shots fired! Shots fired!
Okay, so here's my line of thinking. Because, like, now we're getting that, like, revitalization again with these, obviously with the Pokemon Diamond and Pearl remake, and of course, naturally of Legend Arceus, and of course, naturally Pokemon Snap. Yeah, like, I'm glad while we definitely are happy, we just finished off the 25th anniversary of Pokemon and celebrating everything Pokemon there. Like, okay, great, nostalgia, great, that's very, very fine, and now we're gonna get new Pokemon games to, like, satisfy that next generation itch that many people have been craving for. Like Legend Arceus looks very nice, and I hope to see, like, once we get more development time in it, like, what will be different and what will be improved upon that. Sure, I'm happy for that. And once that game comes out, great. But the reason I feel like that Nintendo has been focusing too much on Pokemon is, like, one, like, do you really want more? I mean, yeah. Do you want more Pokemon? Like, are you just doing it at the whims of the fans of putting the Pokemon franchise in a series drought? Because, like, the last major Pokemon game came out? Like, was it on the 3DS or was
it? No, Sword Shield.
Sword and Shield. Yeah, my bad. So yeah, so they have been keeping that flow, and of course, especially with the expansion pass of the Isles, and of course with the new Crown Tundra. So yeah, okay, they really are like trying to expand this game and all that, but I feel like it's just, yeah, maybe it's just too much. I feel like I guess the reason I'm trying to like nail down the reason is just like, yeah, like the fans, of course, again, Pokemon fans are what Pokemon fans, and that you, like, we always want to see that next generation, of course, like with the anime, the Pokemon cards. I mean, Pokemon cards, they're going on like really like drugs, if anything else. Everyone wants to get the Pokemon cards. And yeah, you pretty much got that thing like nailed down. Pokemon's gonna like last you for quite a long time now. So maybe, I don't know, perhaps that's the reason why I feel like the series may be going a little bit maybe too hard. I don't know, feel like. Like, okay, we got these games now, so like, don't need to be like, are you doing it for the fans or for yourself? That's what I'm asking. So like, And I'm sorry, Todd, but when you said Pokemon Channel, I'm sorry. I will defend Pokemon Channel. I'm sorry.
You do that, Will.
It was an odd game, which I oddly like. It's my guilty pleasure. But yeah, it's just like with the Pokemon franchises now, like, again, it's just so overly exposed now. I feel like maybe I'm just a hater. I don't know. Bashing me all you want. But I feel like the Pokemon franchise now is like, yeah, just. You don't need to go overdrive, like, don't need to go maximum overdrive on this franchise for so long. So, sure, there's, like, that 3-year, maybe even 4-year time gap. Sure, like, that's probably nice. But I just want something like, yeah, just take your time with these games. Like, we don't need, again, with that whole debacle of the, like, the National Pokemon Index. And, like, yeah, it's like, where's all my Pokemon and all that? Like, yeah, okay, yeah, just chill, dude, just chill. So, maybe just the name, maybe it's a poor reasoning, but I feel like the Nintendo doesn't need to go maximum overdrive with the Pokemon franchise, if you ask me.
Is there a reason you keep saying maximum overdrive, Will?
I'm sorry, I was thinking SpongeBob, sorry.
That was not, I did not see that twist coming. No, I agree with you for the most part about Pokemon. This year, like this very particular year, I'm going to give them a pass because it's the Pokemon 25th anniversary.
Yeah, sure.
And Snap has been something we've been asking for 20 years. Arceus, which is coming out next year, that's a unique thing, and that's another one of them experimental titles where we'll allow it, and then we'll see how it goes. But and then of course the remakes, that's always going to happen, because they'll sell. They'll always sell. But other things like the Cafe Mix game.
Oh yeah.
Like, what was that?
Yeah, that was an oddball choice. Yeah, oddball of the game. Yeah.
And yes, I know that Magikarp Jump was a success for God knows what reason. And it inspired that absolutely super anime episode of Pokemon Journeys. I still don't know what happened to that episode. Like, why? How does a Magikarp launch himself into space? All right, calm me down. But I do understand the core point. And you are right where they, at times, like, just try and bank off Pokemon. And I alluded to some of it earlier, like with Troze and Conquests and everything, where it's like, hey, what franchise can we just like throw Pokemon at? You know, like if you remember Anessa Vanessa, she mentioned that Pokemon Puzzle League was basically the same game as a title from Japan that was that game, just not without Pokemon. And it's like, yeah, okay. That's kind of lazy, Nintendo, that you just put Pokemon on there and, you know, sold the game. But when it's that kind of a franchise, you can do that. But that's also part of the problem. It's like, yeah, we got to catch them all, but that doesn't mean we have to get every single Pokemon game that exists. I have not touched Pokemon Trainers, EX, or the other name that I have to call it, since, you know, my first few days of playing it. I just have no desire. It's right there on my app. I see Leon staring at me, but I haven't played it because it's like, was it fun? Yeah, sure, but you know, it did not have that same feel, and I haven't touched Pokemon Go in years. So I definitely agree that when they want to, they go really hard on Pokemon, and it does make me appreciate the core titles more, like Sword and Shield, and I'm sure I'll like Arceus. But I do agree that if they could just trim it a little and give like these other franchises that we all know and love a chance to sell, that, you know, maybe they'll make more experimental titles with them. Who knows?
Yeah, I think this is a good one as well. I think the Pokemon franchise is one that would benefit from a longer development cycles, particularly with the main series games. I did love Sun and Moon, but it wasn't a major step up from X and Y, and I felt like Sword and Shield was a similar kind of slight half step forward, but not what it could have been had they taken more time with it. And all the spinoffs can definitely be overwhelming. I do think that Pokemon is a little bit more, it's like Kirby in that they branch out a lot, so the gameplay is very different depending on the game that you pick up, from Pokemon Snap to the core games. It's a pretty wide range, so it's good in that regard. But still, I agree. I think Pokemon in the last 2 years of Switch, 3 years of Switch, has done a lot of lifting, and that's continuing this year. So,
yeah, that's again, we're not bashing these franchises. We all love these franchises, and there's ones that we could have easily named, like Mario or even Zelda. I mean,
I'm pushing back on Mario. I
come on.
Back on that. Yes. I think, I mean, you look at the 3D games, just the 3D games. It's been like 6 years for in between each. Like 64 was 96, Sunshine was 2002, Galaxy was 2008, I want to say. Maybe it's 2006.
Yeah, 2008. 2008 sounds right.
Yeah, yeah. And then Galaxy 2, I think, was 2011.
Yeah, this is all right.
And then Odyssey was the next, like, collect-a-thon. So there's a long gap there. And the new Super games, definitely, 100%. There was a lot of them, and they did wear out their welcome. But there's only, like, four new Super games. And I think the first one came out on DS. So, you know, I don't know. I think, and it's Mario. It's like Pokemon is similar in that way where, yeah, they're that big. They're worthy of the constant spotlight. If that makes sense. I mean, you could make an argument, but I would defend the Mario series and say it's not overused.
No, but my argument to that would be, I'm not talking about like the Super games, because it's just like the Pokemon Core titles. Those all work more or less. There's always going to be something wrong with them. And when you have like a Mario Core title, yeah, they're always there. But then like with the Switch, we literally have like how many ports of Mario games? And they have to put effort into, you know, making the ports and making sure they look good and run good and, you know, adding the new content like Bowser's Fury. I mean, did we really need 3D World and Bowser's Fury on the Switch when it was a game that came out last generation?
Like, good point.
Yeah. And then like, okay, you said, well, what about the super time, like the side scrollers? And like, yeah, those are fine too. But then he's still, you know, they're pushing hard with the Mario Sports games. And yeah, Aces it sold well and golf seems interesting. But you're telling me you couldn't think of another title to make outside of the sports games, or even just make a universal epic sports game that, you know, takes like 3 years to make, but it's worth it to play all the games that are included, you know? And again, what we're really talking about here is like time and the time to take to make those games versus trying to make another Donkey Kong title, which you'd think we'd have by now.
It's such a bummer that we don't have that yet.
Yeah, given the success of Tropical Freeze and Donkey Kong Country Returns. Yes, I know Retro is working on the new Metroid game, which we are going to give a pass to because we know it's coming eventually. But like, where's my Donkey Kong? Where's my Donkey Kong? Where's my F-Zero? Where's my Star Fox? You know, where's Pikmin 4? Like, there you go. Like, Pikmin, like, that's not been overused, and yet we still get a port of it. It's the port of the third game that came out last generation. And we keep saying, oh, but it was the Wii U. Yes, but some games did sell well on the Wii U, and we don't need them here. We'd rather, you know, get the next game with the new advancements and then look forward to the game after that. But instead, we gain, like, port after port after port. And then with Zelda, it's the same way. Yes, I was happy with Link's Awakening because that's a 25-year-old title giving a brand new coat of paint, and I finally got to beat it after 25 years. Not because I used a strategy guide. Totally didn't. But, you know, do I need Skyward Sword? Yeah, that's two generations ago, but it's not that old, and it still does not look good at all. Ugh. The Girahim's tongue. I do not need to see that in high definition. Okay. even Link was weirded out. I mean, come on, and that guy barely emotes. So, you know, Zelda, you know, it's getting out. Like, I would rather them just focus all their time and energy on Breath of the Wild 2. Not that they're not. We know it's coming. But, like, when Aonuma comes down and goes, hey, I know you're expecting me to talk about Breath of the Wild, but I'm not going to do that. Here's a port of a game that, you know, you may not have played on the Wii for whatever reason. It's like, it's not really what we wanted. So, like, and sometimes, and the real reason we're honestly kind of doing this title is that a lot of the times when they, like, harp or force on these franchises is because they know they'll make money no matter what, and that's kind of a problem. Yes, you'll make money, but you're also going to alienate the fan base in certain ways, and you're not giving your team a chance to experiment to make the next big franchise, like you did with ARMS, like you did with Splatoon, like you did with Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle. And, you know, ARMS still hasn't gotten a sequel yet, and that game sold really well and has a character in Smash Brothers, you know, and we still haven't gotten Kingdom Battle's sequel, and there's a lot of other franchises that we want to see on Switch, and yet, you know, last few years it's been a lot of Zelda, Mario, Pokemon, wash, rinse, repeat. You know, where's everything else? So, that's all we're saying. We love these franchises, but we want all the franchises. Nintendo dominates when it comes to their library. Use it! Use all of it. You were doing so well, and now it's just like, here's all the repeats. Like, can we get a little bit more? So, and yes, we know the rest of the year has not been announced yet, And we'll be patient, kind of. So, but until then, we have to ask, because if we don't ask, then Nintendo is just going to assume, hey, what we're doing works. And it only kind of does. It only kind of does. And with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yeah, last time we definitely didn't have a poll because I was criticized for not posting the poll fairly, and then you guys didn't trust me to post it again. Again, fairly.
Fairly. And then it all worked out because we skipped the week.
Yep.
Okay. But this week we are definitely doing a poll, and we're going to base it off of the topic we just did. What franchise what franchise do you think Nintendo should not make as many games in, or phrase it how you want, Tyler? Not Mario. Kirby, Pokemon, and what was yours?
Splatoon.
Kirby, Pokemon, and Splatoon.
Okay, like what franchises do you feel should not be focused on as much by Nintendo? And then throw in Mario, just because I'm curious to see if people vote for Mario. So let us know, and we'll let you know the results in next week's show. And of course, let us know what you thought about the Pikmin app by Niantic that's coming this year. Do you want a Kid Icarus Uprising sequel? Are you getting Monster Hunter Rise? Are you very eager for Pokemon Snap to come out next month? Do you wish you could go to Super Nintendo World? And everything else. So, for Tellius, Tyler, and Wario Will, I am Triforce Todd, and ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag!